Like Braden and I, you have probably done something in the past that was wrong, and we're desperate to find a way out of the bad situation.
Coming up on the Bible Story Podcast, we are going to tell you a super secret way out.
You don't need to whisper, Braden. It's not a secret.
God, John, for dramatic emphasis.
My name is Braden Pahowich, and across from me is an incredibly humble and stoic and strong and super funny all around stupendous chap. I mean, my friend and yours, John Draper.
Wow, Braden. You know, I've never had an introduction like this before. I just don't know what to say.
You did know what to say, apparently, yesterday when you were writing the script for this introduction.
You know, I have no recollection of that. I don't remember writing anything like that in the script.
Wow.
Really strange, I know.
Yeah, you should pay more attention when you're writing things, I guess, eh? People are going to know that that wasn't me writing it because I'm much cooler and younger and more hip and don't use words like chap.
Well, all right. Before we get derailed, prior to starting down the tracks of today's story, I have an invitation to all our listeners. You know, we'd love to spend a week with you at Covenant Bay Bible Camp this summer. There are family camps, day camps, overnight camps, we hope. It's going to be a great summer. You can find more information and register at covenantbay.ca.
Yeah, I am so excited about summer camps this year. Honestly, I can't even wait. I'm wearing shorts and a tank top, and I'm ready to go swim on the ice.
It's been strange. It's kind of cold outside today, but yeah.
There's still snow from the window. Okay, anyway, let's jump into a little bit of background information on our story for today. Now, the preview for today's story was, you know, a little bit suspect. It sounded like we could get out of the consequences of our wrong actions by being sneaky, which isn't the truth. John, we know that.
No, yeah, of course. You can't get out of your actions by being sneaky.
I'm very sneaky.
But you can't get out of your actions, wrong actions because of your sneakiness.
No. But truth is, Jesus is willing to take our place. In fact, he took our place already and paid the penalty for our sins.
So we just finished up the series on Moses, which, you know, that was a lot of fun.
It was great. I actually really enjoyed that, yeah.
So we're going to develop one of the sub-stories within that whole series, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the first Passover, and then we're going to introduce what is known as the last Passover.
Oh, that's awesome. John, look at us. I think we promised this as we were doing that story that we would come
back
to it.
We're making good on our promises.
Oh, we so rarely do that.
We're coming through.
Yeah. Okay, so the first Passover was a celebration of things to come. You know, that was part of our story. And God promised to rescue Israel from Egypt. He also promised a final plague on Egypt, the death of all of the firstborn males within each Egyptian home and within all of their livestock.
So to celebrate the Passover, each Israelite family would choose a lamb or a young goat to sacrifice to prepare as a meal. You know, if they were a small family and they couldn't eat the whole thing, they would share with another family in their neighborhood, and they'd just make it work. So they were to take special care of this animal until it was time to slaughter the animal and prepare it for the Passover meal.
So they would select specifically a male lamb or a young goat that was, you know, about a year, and it had to be without any defects, no marks, no, you know, abnormalities. Then they waited until twilight to slaughter the animal, and then they would smear the blood on the door frame of their home, which, you know, by today's standards, John, it sounds a little strange.
Yeah, it does.
So then they would eat the meal at night, which is also kind of strange, and they would be fully dressed and ready to leave Egypt.
Yeah, this whole instructions was like everything was done so that they could leave in a moment's notice, leave Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, Braden, Exodus 12, verses 12 and 13 gives, you know, a really good explanation of why they smeared the blood on the doorposts.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
So this is God speaking to Moses. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on the door, on but the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the...
That's awesome. So that was instructions directly to the Israelites.
That's correct.
Right. And so then he would pass over that house. I get it now. See, that's a very...
Thus the name of the celebration, Passover.
It makes so much sense. So, okay, we just covered the first Passover. And now for a little bit about the last Passover. So Jesus, along with his disciples, were on their way to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. And they were going there to celebrate Passover. But it wasn't exactly a safe thing for them to be doing. The Jewish religious leaders at the time had been looking for ways to kill Jesus. But they were scared of how people would respond because Jesus had become so popular and had been talking to lots and lots of crowds and had kind of a large gathering and following of people. So going to Jerusalem during Passover, where all of these religious leaders were going to be, I mean, it was a little bit crazy for Jesus and the disciples to be doing that.
Yeah. So, you know, Jesus sends some of his disciples ahead to get a room ready so that they can celebrate the Passover there. No, what's incredible about this is that Jesus gives detail to the disciples about what they would expect and whom they should ask to use their room for celebrating the Passover. Now, Luke chapter 22 gives this detail. And, you know, I would encourage you to read it for yourselves. It's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Now, before this, Judas, who was one of the disciples, made a deal with the religious leaders. And that deal was to betray Jesus and help them find and arrest Jesus while they were there.
So the disciples and Jesus gather in this room that they had prepared and to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, he says this, "I have been eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again till its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Now, Jesus' words are such a mysterious way to begin a celebration. It's a very somber note.
Let's party. Suffering?
Yeah. Wait, you're not going to eat this again? Like, that was yearly tradition, right? Mm. So it would have, you know, maybe put a damper on things a little bit. But here, you know, we see Jesus was talking about his suffering. And this is nothing new, specifically between him and the disciples. Jesus had predicted his death several times prior to this. And we'll see him do it again before the night is over.
Yeah. So, Brayden, I think we need to push pause on this story.
Boop.
We need to go back to the story.
That was my pause button.
Very nice pause button. We need to go back to the story of the first Passover to help us understand what Jesus meant when he said, "I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Gotcha.
Okay. So let me read a bit of scripture as well. So Moses and Israel, you know, they had just celebrated the first Passover.
Mm-hmm.
They had left Egypt. And as soon as they got into the wilderness, God speaks again to Moses. This is Exodus 13, 1 and 2. Okay. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the firstborn offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me.'"
Okay, so again, John, like we've talked about a couple times on this podcast, there's a fairly wide cultural gap for you and I, you know, living in Canada, Alberta, you know, 2021,
mm-hmm.
versus the people of ancient Israel.
Right.
You know, let's remember that God had just killed all of Egypt's firstborn sons, you know, both human and animal, with the final plague that he had said he was going to do. Right. Now, God wants Israel to dedicate their firstborns to him. And God gave them an unusual, I will say, at least.
That's a fair statement.
Yeah. Unusual. He gave them an unusual way to do this.
And God continues then to instruct Israel to celebrate each year, right, God's rescue of them,
mm-hmm.
and then to tell their story to their children during the week-long annual celebration. So I don't know about you, Braden, but I've got some older grandparent-type people in our family, and hearing some of their stories from when they were children, you know, that's significant for all of us, right? And so I can imagine what they were passing these stories down.
And we just went through that story through Exodus.
Yeah.
We just talked about that in our podcast. That is a crazy story.
Super
like
crazy.
Like there is, I mean, okay, if my grandparents had stories like that, I would have listened maybe a little more on it.
The reality is we're still telling that story today.
Exactly.
We're not direct descendants of Israel, but I mean, we're telling that
story. It
was
epic. It was a very important story.
All right. So, you know, God gets very detailed in what the parents and grandparents were to say to their children when they celebrated. So, Braden, read Exodus 13, verses 14 through 16.
Okay, sounds good. So it says this, "And in the future, your children will ask you, what does all of this mean? And you will tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go. So the Lord killed all of the firstborn males throughout the land of Egypt, both people and animals. That is why I now sacrifice all the firstborn males to the Lord, except the firstborn sons are always bought back. This ceremony will be like a mark branded on your hand or your forehead. It's a reminder that the power of the Lord's mighty hand brought us out of Egypt."
You know, so I think we need to give some explanation behind the idea of Israel buying back their firstborn.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
God, the creator, you know, is the creator of all humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the father of all of us. So he spared the Israelite firstborn males in the plague that killed Egypt's firstborn males, both human and animal. So this was the cost, the life of the firstborn. But God is gracious. And he's gracious for allowing an animal to take the place of the child.
Mm.
Israel had to wrestle with the reality of death and grace that, you know, that were wrapped together. This makes many uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does, which is a lot of Passover in some ways. There's a lot of this like grace and uncomfortability with the death and the sacrifice. I mean, sacrificing a lamb would not allow you to forget the incredible cost and the grace shown by God. Not only did the animal represent, you know, a monetary value, which was a loss to the owner of the animal, but the sting of death would have caused the Israelites to value each person's life that much more, especially with the passing down of the stories. John, when we go to worship God at church, I mean, it's a very orderly, you know, clean, kind of short, concise service. There aren't, I mean, any animal sacrifices? I haven't been a part of a church that had.
No, I haven't been a part of a church. That'd be a little bit strange for us.
I did a pig roast at a church once, but that was just like...
That was like a meal.
That was a hangout.
Yeah.
It was really good. But yeah, so, I mean...
And pig roast wasn't at all a kosher type thing.
No. But, I mean, if we experience this type of celebration, it would be jarring. It'd be hard to watch the sacrificing of an animal. It would be a unique experience unlike anything either of us have seen before. But now contrast this with the ancient, you know, Israelites. Like we said, there's a big like understanding gap, a culture gap.
Huge gap.
Yeah. And so, you know, they didn't have grocery stores. Their food went directly from the field to the table. They'd put all of the work in during that in-between time, and they regularly butchered animals to provide food for their families. So the act of you know, killing or butchering or preparing an animal for a meal was not at all unusual to them. Sacrificing it to God would have hurt because each animal represented their food and their money and their security and well-being for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Now, obviously, this comes from a couple of guys who buy their meat prepackaged in at a grocery store, right?
Wrapped in saran wrap. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it would be interesting to hear someone's perspective who lives off the land and doesn't have access to a grocery store. You know, there are very few in our world who live like this today. So mm-hmm. it probably is not going to happen. But Braden, we have to talk about what it meant to dedicate and buy back their firstborn sons. You know, God required it. He mandated it, ordered the Israelites to buy back sacrificial lamb, their firstborn sons. Mm. You know, as they sacrificed this animal in place of their firstborn, they must have felt, you know, this deep sense of gratitude to God, sparing them of that last plague. Lamb, yeah. who took the place of their firstborn, would, you know, have symbolically taken on the child's value. It would have been a mess of emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that in sacrificing that animal that represented a loss that could have been your firstborn child, the amount of, you know, joy that you have because you still have your firstborn child, but how heartbreaking it could have been. I mean, you know, throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus being referred to as the Lamb of God. You know, one of the first people to call Jesus this was a man named John the Baptist. Look at you, John. Similar names.
I don't spell my name with an H.
The viewers wouldn't have known that.
We're very different people.
So the first man to call Jesus the Lamb of God was John the Baptist, who worked really hard preparing people for Jesus. Okay, so listen here to John 1, verse 29. It says this: "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'"
You know, every Israelite who heard John say these words mm-hmm. would have known exactly what he meant. You know, Jesus is like the sacrificial lamb, but instead of taking the place of the firstborn son, mm-hmm. Jesus takes our place. So Romans chapter 6, verse 23 describes the penalty for sin as being death.
Right. Jesus took on our sins and paid that price. Like ours, yours, and I, your and mine, John, the mm-hmm. past, the present, all of it, not just the firstborn child. He died in our place. So we didn't have to. So actually that we could have eternal life with God. As we get closer to Easter, we're going to talk and explore more of this idea.
So we're going to pick up the story of the last Passover next week. We haven't finished that story, but so it's to be continued.
Yeah.
For now, there's something incredibly important that we need to know and to learn.
Yeah. We have to learn that Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. You know, the price has been paid for our sins. There's not an amount owing. There's not things that we have to do. We don't have to find a lamb who's unmarked and perfect. Jesus is that lamb, the perfect sacrificial lamb. You know, he paid the price for our sins, and we can live in a growing relationship with God as a result of this. Jesus took our place, and that's a huge deal.
Yeah, Braden, I am what many of our campers mm-hmm. would describe as old.
No.
Well, truth be told, I'm roughly the same age as their parents. So, I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder.
Might be the age of their grandparents.
I'm 41 years old. I don't know too many grandparents.
Great grandparents.
41 years old. But every year, here's my point. Every okay. year, I seem to understand a little more of this story and Christ's sacrifice for me mm-hmm. with my heart. I understand it a little bit more with my heart. Mm. And that's
yeah. So you're meaning the reality of Jesus taking your place hits home, and your emotional response, your heart response is more significant.
Yeah, I mean, he took my place, Braden.
Yeah.
And my emotional response, as you said, is greater. Yeah. Each and every year. So on one hand, you know, I celebrate and I'm so excited. On the other hand, knowing the price he paid for me brings me to tears. And I'm not really a guy who comes to tears too often.
I mean, I make John cry on the daily, but... No,
I don't.
John. No, I mean, you're right, John. I mean, you're not always the most emotional. You certainly don't normally cry. And I think what you're saying is really important. It's one thing to understand, you know, a concept, or the concept that Jesus took our place with our minds, you know, in our heads. But it's another to understand it with our hearts, you know, and to make that understanding the same, as much in our hearts as it is in our mind.
That's a great lesson for us today. All right, Braden, it is time for our growth tip.
Woohoo!
Growth tip time.
Growth tip time.
Alrighty. John, if we could get a dubstep EDM like mix of that one day, remix.
Totally don't even know what that word means. Now that you explain it, I kind of do.
Yeah, didn't you?
Totally not hip enough to be able to do any of that.
As you can tell, I'm not a beatboxer also.
Yeah, maybe you're not even hip enough for that.
I'm always hip enough.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, I have a really great growth tip for us this week. John, are you ready?
I am all ears.
Oh, gross.
Well, not actually, because you know that would be really strange if I was all ears and all I could do is listen and not share any of the Bible stories with each of you each week. What I'm trying to say, Braden, is I'm listening.
John, would you rather have ears for eyes or eyes for ears?
Wow. Can I choose both? And then it's just like I can
so you
see
just have
everything.
Double everything.
See everything from like crazy good peripheral vision.
Oh yeah.
And like very good honing in on
imagine
on hearing.
Imagine your eyelids.
Okay,
being
we're
as
getting
big
derailed.
As your ears. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Okay. You are ridiculous, John. I'm
ridiculous.
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right.
The growth tip for today involves our imagination, although we're not going to tell you to imagine your eyelids as ears, unless you want to.
Okay.
Okay. This week, imagine, so we were talking about Jesus's sacrifice and the fact that he takes the place of that sacrificial lamb. This week, imagine watching a family sacrificing a lamb in place of their firstborn child. And then this evening, you know, before you go to bed and give yourself a moment, you know, take a chance to journal with a pen and paper and write down your feelings and thoughts and, you know, emotions around what this event would look like. You know, the days leading up to this event, the sacrificing of that animal in place of the child. How do you feel about it? How do you think the people who have to go through that feel about it? You know, and lastly, ask yourself the question, what would God say about it? Or what would you say to God about it?
Hey, that's a really good growth tip.
Thank you.
It's a much better idea than your thought on ears for eyelids. But
close second.
I like the idea.
Okay, sounds good. You know what? Thank you all so much for taking the time to listen to us and enjoy our ridiculousness. I mean, I'm assuming you enjoyed it. I can't see your faces.
Thanks for sharing the podcast with your friends and family. You know, what's really incredible is the number of listeners continues to grow each week, and there is only one reason for that. It is
the
you.
Eyelids.
It is not, definitely not the eyelids. It is you listeners sharing with your friends and family. So thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, we're so grateful, truthfully, because we know John and I are somewhat old and somewhat lame. We admit that.
Yes.
Okay, so again, please continue to share this with your friends and families. Hit subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And as always, follow us on Instagram, the hippest place where I post all of our cool stuff, at Bible Story Pod.
Hey, we love you guys. We are praying that this Easter season will be life-changing for you because of your time spent with God. Have a great week.
Coming up on the Bible Story Podcast, we will be sharing a harrowing story. You got to stay tuned. It's very important.
That's a good word, Braden.
Oh, thank you.
Harrowing means difficult, sad, disturbing, acutely distressing.
We are going to learn that Jesus bore the sins of many.
And Jesus was the only one who could do this.